Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. We're coming to you from Kenya today. Beautiful, bright, sunshine day. The rains of the recent last month or two have started to diminish a bit, which is good news because our roads were washing out, our bridges were washing out. Many people have been displaced by floods in this region, and so we're very thankful for the diminishing of the rains. And we thank you for all of you who are listening today. We're going to be taking up a message that we started last week from Matthew 24, because many people have questions on their mind about, are we in the end times? And yes, beloved, we are in the end times. Specifically, I believe that when Israel was brought back and established as a nation, and I say brought back because the Jewish people, the Hebrew people, were scattered all over the earth to the four corners of the earth. And in 1948, by some miraculous supernatural series of events, the people of Israel were brought back to their homeland and established in their homeland in 1948. And now the country that we call Israel, the land of God's chosen people that He gave them, back in the book of Genesis, He gave to Abram, and He said, this land will be for your people, and they will be as numerous as the stars in the sky, the sand on the seashore. And so that has been fulfilled, that great prophecy. Against all odds, never before has a nation been brought out of other nations of the world and been established in their own homeland that they had been vacated for 2,000 years almost. And so that was a supernatural, miraculous event. And that is God's time clock for the ticking up to the time when Jesus returns and He gathers up His saints to take them off of this earth. And so I believe we are in the 11th hour. I believe we're getting close to the time of Jesus' return. I don't spend any time speculating on when that will happen. God just says, be ready, and the Lord in His Word says, be ready, that we are to watch and pray, and so don't waste your time trying to calculate, and don't follow prophets who calculate the day or the hour, because they're going against God's will. Jesus Himself said, no one knows the day or the hour, not the angels, only my Father in heaven knows the day or the hour, and so don't waste your time trying to predict the day Jesus is coming back. Just be ready. As Adrian Rogers used to say, just be ready. Be on the welcoming committee. You don't have to be on the planning committee. Just make sure that you're ready to welcome Jesus when He comes back. Well, Matthew 24, verse 9, we're going to take this up because this really speaks to the times that we're in. The Word says, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Well, you're seeing this happen even as I speak. You're seeing this happen all over the world in every nation just about. They have discriminated against churches because of this coronavirus outbreak, this coronavirus pandemic. They have discriminated against churches. And this is just a sign of the end time. It's a sign of the spirit of the Antichrist. It's a sign of the spirit of the one world government that will be controlled by the Antichrist. And here in Kenya and in many nations around the world, we have liquor stores open. We have Frank Knott and Mama Waitoto. The big grocery stores are open and people can pack in there by the dozens and hundreds. And nobody seems to care about that. But when you want to go to church and have a church meeting and still keep your social distance of 1 meter or whatever the distance is designated by the country, no, you can't have church because that is a threat to move the virus around. That is a threat to increase the chances of getting sick. And yet every other place in society, even the matatus are running in Kenya, and they pack 10 to 15 people in those things. And so this is just a discriminatory act by the government. And Kenya is a Christian nation. supposedly 80% of the people here claim to be Christian, and the same in America. And thank God that America is finally, in some of the states, trying to open up and starting to open up the economies and also the churches. Praise God for that. But the scripture says, you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And we praise God that we can have freedom of religion. Here in Kenya, there is respect for other religions as they respect ours. But as the end days grow near, and the name of Jesus is exalted, Jesus' name will offend many. His name will be an offense to many people. And you can talk about God, you can talk about religion, but when you start talking about Jesus, then you're going to be offending many people. And verse 10 talks about that. It says, then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Well, there'll be a time, you already see it happening in China, where people are going to be betraying one another. And even in a USA, there are hotlines you can call when you see people that are not socially distancing the way the government thinks they should be. And you can see people that are very offended by the name of Jesus Christ. If you own a photography studio and some people come to you and they want you to photograph their gay marriage, you can be thrown in jail. In fact, it's already happened with some people in America. They've been put in jail simply because they're exercising their rights, their First Amendment rights, and they don't believe that it brings glory to God to go to that wedding and shoot pictures there. And so if you are a cake baker and you don't bake a cake for somebody that wants to have a gay wedding and put those little offensive caricatures on top of the cake, you can be arrested and put in jail. And so many are already offended at the name of Jesus. Many are already offended at the desire that people have to serve Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. In China, they have a great program of facial recognition technology, and they are tracking the movement of every single person in that country. In some states in China, they have set up literally tens of millions, and in some states over 100 million video cameras to watch the people. They can recognize their faces through the facial recognition technology, and they know when people go to the grocery store, they know when people go to an underground church, they know when people go to their job. They can track every single movement of every single person in the country, and they will use this not only to persecute and put people in prison, but they will also establish a great social benefit program that goes with it. So you will be earning points when you go to the government meetings. You will be earning points when you do everything exactly as the government wants you to do it. But if you go to church, you're going to be putting negative points on your scorecard. And if you get enough negative points, beloved, you're either going to get thrown in jail or you won't be able to travel outside of your city. And so they can use this to help the government get a stranglehold on the people, and the government will use this as a tool to further strangle and further tighten their grip on the freedoms of the people. Well, it also says here in verse 11 that many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Well, that is a sign of the times. That is a sign of the end times. We've always had false prophets running around, but I think there's going to be an increase of them. There will be many false prophets. Beloved, there's only one way that you can guarantee yourself safety from the false prophets, and that is to get into God's Word, study God's Word. 2 Timothy 2:15. It says, be diligent to study, or be diligent to show yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so you need to study. If you're going to be a diesel mechanic, you better study the mechanics book. If you're going to be a doctor, you better study the medical books. If you're going to be a lawyer, you better study the law books. Beloved, if you want to know about the spiritual realm and you want to know about your God, get a hold of a Bible and start to study it. Get a hold of a Bible and start to read it. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I urge you to get a Bible reading in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels of Jesus Christ, and go on to the book of Acts, the book of Romans, Corinthians. Get a hold of a Bible and start to read it. It will transform your life. You will never be the same again. And when you study God's Word and know God's Word, then it is much easier to spot the fakes. You know, they say that the people who are in the government who spot counterfeit currency, counterfeit bills, they study the real bills over and over and over. They study them until they know them so well that when a counterfeit is presented to them, they can spot it right away. And that's what we need to do with God's Word. We need to study it until we know it by heart. We need to study it even if we are put in prison or put in jail. We have that Word hidden in our heart. And so when you study God's Word, beloved, you know then when the counterfeit is presented to you, you know because you know what the real looks like. You know what the real sounds like. And so when you see somebody and you see fakes happening, beloved, the devil will do fake miracles. The devil will do signs and wonders. The Bible says that in the end times, that the devil will do signs and wonders, and the people will be amazed, and the people will be flabbergasted. We see that happening in Kenya. There's lots of false prophets running around, and they do signs and wonders. They do fake miracles. And so there are many who will be taken in by this and deceived by this. And there will be an increase in the end days of false prophets. And verse 12 says, "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." Well, it's hard for people to love. It's hard for people to come out of their shell and extend themselves and offer themselves to other people. It's easy to be selfish. It's easy to just take care of yourself, to get closed up in your little clamshell. And the Bible says, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Right here in Mumias Town, just at the start of the coronavirus pandemic, a watchman was murdered right up here at the main grocery store. It was within an earshot of the police station. Nobody was ever arrested. And the people that murdered this watchman, then they went into the big grocery store. They cleaned off the shelves and they cleaned out the cash registers. And so you're going to see lawless abound. This is going to be a hallmark of the end times. And so you need to be prepared that your brothers and sisters in Christ are the people that you can trust. You need to be prepared to network with them. You need to be prepared to lean on them and strengthen them, and they strengthen you and encourage you and pray with you, because the brothers and sisters in the faith are going to be the only ones that you will be able to trust when lawlessness abounds. Verse 13, "But he who endures to the end shall be saved." Well, beloved, there's only going to be two outcomes of your life, two outcomes that will be determined by your choices in this life, and those outcomes are you're either going to stay with your faith, you're either going to keep confessing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you will be saved, you will endure to the end, and you will be saved. You are saved, but you will be saved when the end comes. That is one outcome. The other outcome is that you're going to spend eternity in hell with the devil. You're going to spend eternity separated. That is the eternal pandemic separation. That is the eternal social distancing. You're going to be separated from God for all eternity, from Jesus Christ, from your family that knew Jesus as Lord and Savior. You will be separated from them, and you will cry out to the Lord. You will cry out Jesus, give me 5 minutes to go back and do it right. Give me 5 minutes to go back and repent and confess you as my Lord and Savior. When Lazarus was hearing from the rich man, and Lazarus was in Abram's bosom, and the rich man says to Abraham, Abraham, let me go back and tell my brothers. Let me go back and tell my brothers what a terrible, terrible place this place of hell is, this place of torment. Let me go back and warn them. Don't come here. Don't come here. And Abraham says that I can't send Lazarus to tell them, and you can't go tell them. Once you're in the place of eternal torment, there's no getting out, there's no going back, there's no changing your mind. And so, beloved, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to make that decision today. Don't wait till tomorrow. Tomorrow may never come. It may be the last day that you have here on this earth. We don't know what each of us has in terms of the days the Lord has given to us, but the Lord knows the days, and also Jesus may be coming back. It may happen tonight. And so when you are assured of your salvation, he who endures to the end shall be saved. The end may come today. It may come through your death today. This may be your last day here on the earth to enjoy your family, to enjoy the goodness of God's creation, to enjoy the things that God has given you. And so, beloved, I urge you, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, get down on your knees, say, Jesus, I want to know you, Jesus. I want to serve you. I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. I repent of my sins, the things that I have done that I know are wrong, the things that I have done that I know have offended you, have offended other people, have offended the Holy Spirit. If you will do that, you will ask Jesus to come into your life, and you can be saved. You will be enduring to the end if you do that each and every day. Say, Jesus, I want to serve you this day. This is the day that you've made. I want to serve you. I want you to be my King, my Lord, and my Savior this very day. And then get a hold of somebody. You can email me, pureprairie@hotmail.com. Let me know you've made that decision. Get a hold of a pastor in a church and follow it up with immersion baptism. Your first act of obedience is immersion baptism. Your first act of witness to the world is immersion baptism, to tell the world this is what has happened in your heart, that you believe Jesus Christ is who he says he is, that you believe he is your Lord and your Savior. Well, verse 14 in Matthew 24, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Well, the amazing thing about this coronavirus pandemic is that the gospel of the kingdom is being preached on the internet, and there's about 1.5 billion people on Facebook alone. There's another, I don't know how many millions and billion on Instagram and other social media platforms, Zoom and Twitter. Beloved, the gospel is reaching every corner of the world. Yes, not everybody in Kenya has a smartphone. Everybody in Kenya doesn't have a laptop. But there are millions and millions of people who have not been in a church in the last 10 or 20 years who are watching services that are being broadcast on the internet. They're watching services, they're watching prayer meetings, they're watching worship videos, and they are seeing and hearing about the gospel for the first time in many years. And beloved, God is going to get the glory of this pandemic. God didn't create, or it wasn't his intention to see people die from this pandemic. This is the work of the devil, but he is going to get the glory from it. The glory will go to God, and he is going to reap a harvest of great magnitude because of this corona pandemic. It says then that all the nations of the world will hear the gospel, and this will be a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. The end, when Jesus comes back, I believe in the rapture, which I've taught on here before. I believe Jesus is coming back, and he's going to come with the voice of the archangel, a shout, and a trumpet shall sound, and then he's going to gather up the saints, 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17, he's going to gather up the saints. Those who have already died in Christ will be taken first. Those who are in the grave will be taken first. And then those of us who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Jesus Christ, and we will go with him, and we will dine and sup with him in heaven for the marriage supper of the Lamb. Well, in verse 37, there's an interesting statement here. It says, just as in the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. That is verse 37, chapter 24. Well, just as in the days of Noah, that means when Jesus comes back, this earth is going to look just like it was in the days of Noah. Well, if you go back to Genesis chapter 6, you can find out what was going on in Noah's day. You can find out what was happening that caused God to decide to send a flood to drown all the people, and not just the people, but all creation, because Noah had to bring the animals and the creatures of creation into the ark with him. And so these are some of the things that was happening in the days of Noah. It will come on the people very suddenly. Verse 38 in Matthew 24, for the days before the flood, people were eating and people were drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. Well, that is happening now. People are getting married. People are eating. They're drinking, not so much in this coronavirus pandemic lockdown, but certainly before, and it will be coming again in a few months. People will have forgotten about the coronavirus. They'll be back to gathering in bars and drinking, and there'll be another Super Bowl. There'll be more college football games. And so just as people are concentrated on their social life, they're concentrated on meeting with their friends and eating and drinking and having a good time and fulfilling the desires of the flesh, so it was in the days of Noah. People were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And beloved, there were millions of people who were shocked when Noah went into the ark and closed the door. He'd been building on that ark for about 100 years, and I'm sure they were shocked when he went in and closed the door, and then it started to rain, and I'm sure they were shocked when the water started to come up, and there was no place for them to flee, no place to run. But only Noah and his family found favor in the eyes of God. So it will be coming on suddenly. And then number two, the people will be mocking the prophets. You know, people mock the prophets today. They say, oh, Jesus' coming has been spoken about for 2,000 years now, and it hasn't happened yet, so it's probably not going to happen. And so I'm going to continue to eat and drink and be merry, because this idea that somehow Jesus is coming back to gather up the saints, this idea has been proposed and foisted upon the people, and it's just a bunch of hooey. Well, beloved, people will not be prepared because they do not listen to the prophets. The people will not be prepared. And so there will be many people who will be lost. There will be many people who will not know Jesus, who will have not confessed him when the time of their death comes or when the return of Jesus comes. All right, another thing that happened in the days of Noah, in Genesis 6:9, it says there was violence all over the earth. There will be violence and corruption. And so we see that all over the earth now, the corruption in Kenya. I can't even start to describe it. I can't even describe how miserable the people here are and how oppressed the people are because of the corruption in this country. Any big project that has any money going into it, the politicians and the ruling class steal all the money. None of it gets to the benefit of the people. And so the institution of poverty, the institution of corruption here in Kenya is just a major, major stronghold. It's like a dragon that destroys everything that tries to happen for good in this country. Well, the next thing is there will be many demon-possessed people. There will be people running around and they will be crazy because the demons of the devil have possessed them, and they will be doing all kinds of atrocious things, beheading people, chopping people up with pongas, shooting people, mass shootings. You're already seeing that in America. You see it in Kenya. Another thing is there will be soulless people. You know, the sons of God, that is the fallen angels, had relationship with the daughters of men, and so you had these half men, half demonic creatures, and they were the Nephilim, the giants. Go back to read Genesis 6. These were the Nephilim, the giants, the men of renown, the men of old, who were propagating in that day. And these men, one of them, the giant David took on, the King David took on. And so there will be soulless people even in this day, just as there were in the days of Noah. And the thoughts of the people, Genesis 6:5, it says, the thoughts of the people will be evil continually. Well, praise God, that will not be true of the Christians. That will not be true of the people who know Jesus Christ. Our thoughts are the thoughts of Jesus. But for those who don't know Jesus, their thoughts will be evil continually. How can you explain the proliferation of millions and millions of pornography sites that are being sent out over the internet from the United States of America? Well, these will be some of the signs of the end times. I'm going to continue with this study next week. There'll be one more message from the end times. How are we to react to these end times? What are we supposed to do while we're waiting for the return of Jesus? And so you can tune in next week and we'll continue studying this message on the end times. Thank you for listening today. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio broadcast, and we invite you to support this broadcast. We invite you to make a donation. Let us know what you like about these broadcasts. Jot us a note and make a donation so we can keep these broadcasts coming to you, these great messages. Also, for the projects in Africa, we have the children's home going, and so we invite you to participate with Gather the Outcast Ministry, and we thank the Lord for those of you who have already done that. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.